Securities and advisory services through Independent Financial Group, LLC, a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor member, FINRA/SIPC.
Good morning, Connecticut. Dennis O'Brien, president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group. This is the Retirement Life and Investing Show here on 94.9 News Now. Hope everybody's doing well this morning. The streets of downtown Metro Ledyard are packed with the Ledyard Fair. Everybody's out and about, and the sun's taking a break, and it's cooled down a bit, so everybody's, I think, happy about that. So come out to the Ledyard Fair and eat some cotton candy and go on a ride and be a kid again. Why not? We're all young, right? Hope everybody's doing well. It's been another wild week in Washington, D.C. The charges back and forth, people fighting. We got tariff battles going on. We got Trump giving speeches in Montana. We've got Mueller going after him. A lot of drama, a lot of I guess it's a good time to be in the media, or maybe a bad time, I'm not sure. But how does it affect your money? What do we do? How do we get you on track is what my main concern is. And all that noise that comes from the media and everything else, pretty much I ignore it, you know, day to day. I'm just like, what happened? Because day to day it doesn't help you, then I'm not concerned about it, because my job is to try to help you get on track and try to grow your money over time. And if there's a lot of noise out there, you can watch it and listen to it, but I don't have the luxury of wasting my time on a lot of it. But the media is ignoring several signs in the economy for political reasons, I think. Jobs are growing rapidly. Everywhere I go, I see job signs. So to my friends that hate Trump, I just go, hey, look, they're looking for people. Hey, they're looking for people. And they're just, you know, and we just laugh, you know, because business startups are growing. The number of companies going public are growing. My database, which tracks all approximately 8,000 companies, was down to 7,700 companies during the last 2 years of the Obama administration. We're up to 8,300 companies now publicly traded. That's a big change in a year and a half, 2 years. So we're seeing a big surge. We're seeing a surge in real estate prices, even in Connecticut now. There's a sign that things are bottoming out and starting to pick up again, which is nice. We're seeing strength in the dollar. No matter what turmoil you're seeing around the world, there's a lot of turmoil in South America. Turkey's a mess. Italy is kind of, you know, Europe is gnashing back and forth. But I don't even think the Russians are weak. You know, the Chinese, I think, are very, very close to having a tough time. We won't hear that in the media, but we seem to be getting a little stronger, and our adversaries seem to be getting a little bit weaker. And so that's something that I think is not being talked about. But, you know, I just think every journalist, whether you are left or right or whatever, I think if you're a journalist, please disclose your political affiliation and any political donations you've given before every article. Because if you go on the Business Network, they have to disclose whether their company owns a stock, is short the stock, whether they have an interest in the company, whether any trust they're part of owns interest in the company, and disclose any potential conflicts of interest. Because when you see all this stuff, you know, if you see someone that basically is a Democrat, he's voted 92, he's given, you know, $10,000 in the last 10 years to the Democratic Party or PACs supporting that issue, when he or she speaks on TV or radio, well, you know, for full disclosure, we know, you know, what their biases are and where they lean, which is fine. You know, it's free for them to talk, but at least we know. Right now, they all claim they're non-biased, but we know that just watching the news coverage on the business side, and that's what I'm concerned about, is mainly the business side. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, the bias is just incredible, and I think it hurts the country, hurts decision makers. You know, facts are facts, you know. Facts are facts. Guys, you can't change facts. You're either making money or you're losing money. Either you're gaining jobs or you're losing jobs. Facts are facts. And also locally, too. If you're in a municipal union or on a town board, You should not be voting on anything concerning your pension or disclose any conflicts of interest you have, especially if it affects town spending and potential raising of mill rates. So whatever your conflict of interest, disclose it. And if you have to pass on a vote, pass on the vote. You should not be able, you should not be able to vote. Locally, one of the my neighbors who works for Pfizer told me that Pfizer very quietly, with no fanfare, did a 5% reduction in force. And he said it was aimed mainly at the over 50-year-olds that are more highly compensated. And so it was done very, very quietly. Also on a local front, Millstone is run by Dominion, okay? And Dominion really needs to improve their HR and pension systems. They outsourced to Hewitt, who I have never been impressed by. Hewitt, his reputation is such that they actually changed their name to Alight or whatever the stupid name is, which is always a sign you're running away from your reputation. I was trying to help a Dominion guy this week put his retirement papers in electronically, and what a nightmare. The Hewitt rep didn't have the up-to-date information to discuss. She didn't know where the papers were. She didn't have the latest data on file. Talking to the helpline, I'm shaking my head the whole time because I've done hundreds of these phone calls helping people retire, and it was the worst phone call I've ever heard. So, Dominion, if you're listening, please wake up and bring the HR function back into the house. You owe it to your long-term, loyal, and retiring employees. Another Dominion employee came to me this week because he had done an in-service rollover to an advisor who immediately sold him some non-traded REITs. He wants me to liquidate, but they're very hard to sell. So, listen, you know, a lot of the financial advisors out there, so we said the kids, you know, they want to find out if you can do an in-service rollover out of your 401k to them, which means you're basically taking money out of your 401k and rolling it to an IRA before you retire, okay? I've never done that, okay, because I always felt like retirement was one thing, working was another. Even though the returns might wind up being much, much better outside the 401k than inside, I'm innately very conservative with personal finance. So I've always been, I always looked at in-service withdrawals with a kind of a crooked eye, like, well, you know, I don't know if I buy into that and everything else. I certainly don't advocate you doing an in-service withdrawal out of your 401k to buy something as liquid as an annuity, IRA, or non-traded REITs, which are extremely illiquid, okay? And we'll talk more about REITs and how you should approach REITs, because REITs, I love REITs as an investment, but the non-traded REITs are not my favorite source of, they're good for the financial advisor selling them. They're good for the management company to get your money. But your returns, yeah, you know, you may get that 6%, 5% they're promising you. But then again, you know, you may not. So you're probably the last one to be able to judge whether that'll happen or not. And so that's my problem is the information flow I don't think is as good as it should be. If you would like my retirement 10 commandments or like to make an appointment, email me at dobryan@ifgrr.com or go to my website, obryanretired.com, and you can get my retirement 10 commandments sent to you. And if you'd like to call in on the show here, 860-464-9490 here on 94.9 FM News Now Radio. We'll talk to you in a few. Thank you. Connecticut, Dennis O'Brien, president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group, www.obryanretired.com. If you'd like to get my retirement in a nutshell, 18-page cash flow report for free. I'm supposed to say complimentary, but I can't say that word before 12 noon. That's way too early for me. Hope everybody's doing well. Daisy the Beagle woke me up at 5:30 in the morning, as usual. She had to go out and pee. Daisy's 14 years old in 3 months, and I love her to death, but 5:30 in the morning, Daisy, please. And then at 6:10, she wakes up, Mama. to do whatever. And then at 6:30, she's tapping again to eat her first breakfast. She's like a, I don't know, she likes her first breakfast and her second. She can eat anything she wants at 14 years old. Everything goes right through her. We leave the house, we have to put a diaper on her. You ever put a diaper with a little hole with the tail, and you got to put the tail through the hole and then wrap her, whatever. My wife does it like in 3 seconds, and it takes me about 3 minutes to do it. I'm manually challenged sometimes. Anyway, we're talking about REITs. Non-traded REITs, avoid them. I don't like them. If you come to me and say, I want to buy a non-traded REIT, I will not sell it to you. I won't sell you anything. Hate sales. On the investment side, if you want to buy REITs, and REITs are simply REITs, Real Estate Investment Trust Securities. And there's dozens of them out there. Some of them specialize shopping centers, healthcare, apartment buildings. Some do it by region, invest multi-usage. And they trade on the exchange, and you can buy them. Some buy just mortgages. And they're really good and really cool investments. You got to watch them because they move around. They trade on the public. They're very liquid. You want your money back, get your money back. What price? Depends on the price that day, because they do move around. They're publicly traded. And I keep a very close eye on the ones I like. Now, I buy REITs because I'm buying the cow for the milk it produces. I want income from the REIT, okay? Now, some of my REITs yield 8, 9, 10, 1, I think is even close to 11, okay? They yield more because they move around, okay? And you got to watch them. Interest rates start going up. What happens to real estate investment trusts? They go down in value. Interest rates come down. They go up in value. I watch them very closely, try to time purchases, and occasionally I will sell them if I think they're way too high. But I don't like to sell them because, once again, I'm buying the cow for the milk. I want the income flow from them, okay? But I want liquidity. So I want my cake, and I want to eat it too. And so with everything I do, that's part of the deal. The only non-deal breaker for me is when something's non-traded. Doesn't trade on the exchanges. You got to fill out a bunch of paperwork to try to get out of these things. The price, you don't know. They price it quarterly. They price it yearly. You don't know the price. You're subject to things that you can't control. I hate that. I want full disclosure. I want to know what I'm buying, okay? And I want to know if I want to get out, I want to be able to get out. That's a big, big deal for me, and it should be for you too. That's why non-traded REITs are a non-starter for me and should be for you too. I do not recommend them for the most part. A lot of guys out there, a lot of gals that are financial advisors, they like them. They sell them. I do not. So, you know, that's and for good reason in my view, okay? Now, you know, I just laugh because you do get a higher yield in the REITs, okay? But not, you know, selling you a high commissioned or annuity or non-traded REITs and see you later. I hate those things, and I laugh when I see Mr. Fisher on TV who's talking about, you know, annuities. I would never sell you an annuity. I hate annuities. And he makes me laugh because I'm kind of like, I feel the same way. You know, and if I had to say, I laugh, but I say if I had to sell annuities, front-end loaded mutual funds or high commission non-traded REITs, I would run up to the Gold Star Bridge and jump because I think it's dumb, and I don't want anybody doing dumb stuff, okay? You know, some of the stuff that I do and everything I put in the portfolio is based on an algorithm designed by a mathematician down in North Carolina. Anybody can buy the program, but nobody knows how to use it. It took me about 5 years, 10,000 hours to become what I consider an expert in the program. And the key to the program is not to use it the way it's marketed, but to use it in a very, very different way. Because it uses math to find the best of the 8,300 companies now that are out there, okay? But that's just the start, because when you go and look and find these companies that are doing very well, and the algorithm is great at showing you the top 300 companies that are doing well and whatnot. The problem with stocks when you go to be a stock picker is you got to figure out whether or not it will continue to do well. And the reasons for it doing well now, are they transitory? Are they just lucky to be in the right industry at the right time? Did they just hit it right because a competitor stumbled and they temporarily got a stronghold? Or have they discovered and created or have a business model that cannot be penetrated or attacked by competitors right now, because their founder is a visionary. She or he developed this whole new industry or a new way of doing things. You know, looking for that top 5%, 5% or that expert, that person that's just more gifted than the others, and you find them. And guys like Warren Buffett are constantly looking for companies. I saw an analyst come on the other day, and he was talking about Buffett, because Buffett was on, I think, CNBC. And Buffett was talking about his additional purchase in Apple and the fact that he's going to start buying back Berkshire Hathaway shares. And the guy said, well, when Buffett way overpaid for Precision Castparts. And I just looked at the guy and I said, you know, Buffett doesn't overpay for anything, you know. He might wait too long, like I think he did on Apple, but he never overpays. And I looked at numbers, and I remember Precision Castparts because I owned the stock at the time. And when he bought it, I said, yeah, I understand why he bought it. Precision Castparts was making parts for the airplane industry. And they're in a long up cycle right now. There's a long replacement cycle going on in the aeronautical industry. And the chairman of Precision Castparts is a genius. This guy, his system, the way he runs those plants, they have like 50 plants. And every morning they have a meeting. And if you miss your numbers, this guy's all over you like a cheap suit. All right? He bought that company because they're in the right place and they have the right guy running them. Okay? He didn't overpay. So I'm listening to this analyst talk and I just like, oh boy, here we go. Another Wall Streeter, you know? Yeah, trying to sell you crap and it stays crap. Yeah, it was cheap, but things are cheap for a reason, you know? Like, you know, start buying Amazon years ago. That company, you know. You know what? Sometimes you can't buy things based on the current PE. You got to look and see what's going on overall in the whole industry and what's happening. And sometimes you pay up because they're in the right place at the right time, and it's not a secret. I'll give you another one. There was a company called Align Technologies. They make the Invisalign braces and stuff like that. You know, this company was 130 trading at 40 times earnings. Very expensive. Very expensive company. A year later, the stock's 350, 360. All right? The company is extremely well run by a visionary with extremely strong products. Hard to break in. I see competitors now trying to come in. That's the way it works, okay? And so we'll see if they can continue to innovate and do what they're doing. But a lot of these companies, when they're very, very well run, they are going to be a little more expensive. And that's okay. That's okay. So I kind of went off on a tangent there, but it's something I wanted to talk about. But occasionally, you know, a client, prospect, friend, or relative, they have a particular set of skills that complement what I do. I got one friend, he designed systems for the medical industry. So when he talks about tech trends, I listen very closely to what he has to say. I have one friend that actually works at a REIT. He tells me what's going on in the industry trends. I listen very, very carefully to what he says, because I do this because I want you to win. I want you to do well. Because if you do well, I do well. And that's how it works. The work begins at the beginning of an account opening, unlike those who sell product and move on, only interested in you if you have more money to buy more product. When the account comes in, the account's funded or assets are transferred, the work's starting at that point. We're going to roll up our sleeves and see what we're going to hold, what we're not going to hold, you know, and we're going to have discussions about it if you want, or, you know, we'll talk about whether or not how much you want to be involved in that decision making. But there's a lot of work that goes on after the account's open. It's not product, see you later, wham, bam, thank you, and we're gone. That to me is like absolutely ridiculous. So all right, enough of that. Let's see, what should you do with your money now? Because that's what the question everybody asks me all the time when I see them around town. What do you think? You know, I got some money in the bank. What do you think we should do? And you get a lot of those questions. Well, for growth, look for companies with dynamic leadership who have gotten knocked down for short-term reasons and look to buy them. Okay? Now, some people don't like Facebook. Some people do like Facebook. Some people think Zuckerberg's a visionary. Some think Zuckerberg's, you know, not taking our information and sharing it and not telling us. I don't know. All I know is that they have 2 billion users. I've talked about it. It's still down. Europeans are kind of trying to muzzle in these big techs, American techs. It's kind of an anti-American thing among the elites over there. I wonder why. But for whatever reason, you got to look at these big dominant companies when everybody hates them, because usually it's transitory. And 6 months from now, they could all love them and everybody will forget why. So we'll come back and we'll talk about other places to put your money now. This is Dennis O'Brien. If you'd like my Retirement Ten Commandments or like to make an appointment, email me at dobrien@ifgrr.com or call me during the week at 860-415-9614 or go to my website, obrienretire.com, and we can talk further. In any case, give me a call if you'd like to sit down and chat. It's free. It's complimentary, as they say. And we'll talk again in the next break, what to do with your money now. Talk to you soon. Thanks. Dennis O'Brien, president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group and host of the Retirement Life and Investing Show here on 94.9 News Now. Hope everybody's doing well. We are talking about what to do with your money now. For income purposes, I favor the real estate investment trust, publicly traded indexes, as well as the oil and gas MLP publicly traded index. You can get yields up to 7, 8, 9, 10. They move around, but you got to watch them. That's my job and why you hire me to do it. But you get very, very good income while you wait. And that's part of the thing that many of my retirees want, as well as anyone else who wants the current income to hedge their bet and whatnot. For growth, look for companies with dynamic characteristics, dynamic leadership that have gotten knocked down temporarily. And we talked about Facebook, among others, not recommending particularly for you. It depends on your risk tolerance, as well as blah, 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 blah. But take a look at very well-run companies that have a dominating position. I also look for emerging industries that you can buy the index, where they try to really, it's hard to time those. So when they're emerging and they're coming, like robotics, artificial intelligence, cannabis, all these industries that I'm interested in, the biotech industry, all these industries, you got to buy and hold them because when they go, you cannot predict it, and all of a sudden, 50%, they go. And you will not be able to time it. So pick your spot. That's what I like to do. And when I own them, sometimes they go and I go, what the heck? But you can't time it. You just got to, if you like them and they get knocked down at good prices and you want to buy them, take a look. Okay. The other ones I like to look at is cyclical industries that can be fun to trade because these are for short-term profits. Okay. And I don't usually do that, but sometimes some of these things bounce, you know, maybe between 30 and 40, and they do it, you know, 3, 4, 5 times a year. And so every time they get down to 30, 31, I got some people say, well, if you think it's, you know, if you think it's good, fine, especially in IRAs and deferred accounts, you can buy and sell these things and not worry about capital gains, short-term capital gains and taxes. So I have some accounts that tell me, you know, if you think they're down the range, let me know. And if you think they've run up and petered out, also take a look. I like that because I buy the whole industry. I don't buy one of them because, you know, managements can do smart things, but a lot of them can do really, really dumb things. So to protect myself from management dumb things, I like to buy the index and the whole thing. So sometimes we get that. But are interest rates set to rise? Well, no one really knows. The 10-year Treasury is actually, the yields are coming down. Mortgage rates are a little lower. And we're having a big boom. So what's going on here? I think a lot of that college debt that's overhanging our young people is preventing many of them from buying homes and investing in their future. We need to break up this college cabal and tax colleges to charge more than, say, $10,000 a year for tuition. It's absolutely ridiculous that they can basically get away with charging anything they want. They have no incentive to keep their costs down, and they've got this bit of a monopoly. And on that note, I went in and did a little research on college endowments. And Harvard University has $36 billion. Yale has $23 billion. University of Texas has $25 billion. Princeton has $20 billion in their endowment. Stanford, $21 billion. MIT, $12 billion. Penn has $9.5 billion. University of Michigan, Ann Arbor, $9.6 billion. Texas A&M, $10.5 billion. Columbia, $9.2 billion. Notre Dame, $8.2 billion. And the list goes on and on. These guys got billions in their endowments. They're charging anything they want. And everybody wants to get in. And the higher they raise the tuition, the more demand they get because it's perceived as being higher quality. It's absolutely outrageous, the prices college is paying. We've built up to $1.6 trillion in debt, and now it's affecting our economy. Mr. President, if you're listening, and whatever you do, we have to do something about this. They are starting now to affect everything and everything out there. It's gotten so bad that if you don't get into one of these top 50 schools, you're going to go to a, you know, just a normal, regular school, and you're going to ring up $50,000, $75,000, $100,000 in student debt. You're better doing something different than this. Okay, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. What are the biggest mistakes I have seen clients make? I was reading an article and they were talking about, financial advisors were talking about that. Number one, greed. Okay. 1986, 87, I had a client leave me. Okay. Because I saw interest rates starting to rise. Fed was very aggressive raising rates. I started reducing my stock exposure and the client got mad at me and ran off to a very aggressive person. And the client lost, I don't know if they lost all their money. I lost touch with them, but I heard it was very, very bad, according to the CPA. Out of control spending. Had a client inherit $200,000, spent it all in 14 months. Not a darn thing I could do about it. Spend. It went crazy. Number three, marrying the wrong person after the long-term spouse passes away. Had a client in Florida, show up with a new spouse within a year, She wanted to see the accounts, the amounts, and I'm looking at him going, what the heck is going on here? It didn't end well. It was not a good situation. You could see it coming. It's like a train wreck. You can see coming, and not a darn thing you can do about it. Successful businesses putting on debt after losing big contract. So a beautiful company up in the Hartford area. I lost a big contract, 60% of the business, went to China. Right? They're floundering around, want to keep everything in place, went into another business, took on a lot of debt to refit the machines. A year later, they pulled the contract, stuck with the debt, went to bankruptcy. 5 years later, just climbing out of it. I urge them not to do it, but sometimes they don't listen. Number four or five, I can't remember. Not automatically saving. Savings investing has to be done automatically. You have to put away 5, 10, 15, 20% automatically away before your checking account can get a hold of it. You'll adjust, and you'll be very well off in your 50s and 60s and glad you did it. So my young people that are starting out now that are automatically savings, I tease them because I'm 61. I said, put a flower on my grave when you're 60, 35, 40 years from now, unless I'm a miracle, because having that conversation with me and getting you on this path will change your life for the better. Please, please, please do it yourself. Tell your children to do it. And if you're way older, tell your grandchildren to do it too. Get the book, David Bach's Automatic Millionaire. Read the book. Make it a Bible in the family. Give it to everybody at Christmas. I have no financial interest, but David Bach's a good guy, and he wrote a great book and everything else. All right. The next biggest mistake I've seen, letting spouse put single life annuity on the pension plan. Do you guys remember, what was that little restaurant chain around here? Bumblebee? I forget the name of it. Anyway, it was like a little diner chain. Guy in Grotte Long Point owned it. Anyway, older ladies waitressing in the one down by in Grotte. I said, you're still working? She says, yeah, my husband passed, and he had put single life on the annuity in his $5,200 a month that he got instead of $4,200 a month. I don't get a penny of it because he passed away within a year of dying. I go, what? Why'd you let him do that? And he wouldn't listen to me, blah, blah, blah. So I'm waitressing tables. anytime a couple comes in and they're looking at their different pension options, and there's not a lot of pensions left, but it's always joint. Always joint. If you're going single, boy, you better have a darn good reason, because I'll fight you to the death on it, okay? Because I still remember that little lady waitressing tables at BB Dairy, And I had a guy scream at me one time in the office because he wanted to do single, and she's sitting there, and I go, what are you doing? Huh? We're back and forth, and I challenged him to the hilt and stuff like that. And I lost the account because I challenged him on it. 2 years later, they're divorced. But she said that, thank God that you protected my interest at the time. So I've seen it. Do not go single life on these annuities unless you got a darn good reason to do it. Okay? Please be careful of that. All right. So our CPA, talented guy, top of the housing market, started doing housing development work and everything else. Good guy, but he got into an area that he's not good in. And, of course, near the top of the market, you know what happened to all developers unless they were very well protected. Please stick to your area and use pros in other areas, and they'll tell you. Doing investments. This is called a crowded trade on Wall Street. Doing investments because everyone else is doing it. See it all the time. Tech bubble, 99, 2000. So everybody and his brother, go online, start buying tech companies. I didn't go near them. I just went, this does not make sense to me. I avoided all that. But a lot of people did it and got their, you know what, handed to them. This is another one. Giving up on a marriage too easily. Fighting over money. Cheating. Easy way out. Not getting therapy. The number one thing you can do if you want to keep your marriage together is get therapy together. And don't give up so easy. I've seen more people give up way too early with disastrous economic, kids, everything through the... So I'm not saying you should stay married no matter what, especially in an abusive situation, whether it's physical or mental. But if you can, try to hold it together. And we'll go back to the other big mistakes I've seen. You know, we keep it real here. So if you want BS, go to everyone else, but I'll tell you what I really think. If you'd like to sit down and talk and tell me about your situation, show me your statement, show me where you're at, tell me about your debt. Hopefully you don't have too much. You can make an appointment anytime at dobryan@ifgrr.com, or you can call me during the week at 860-415-9614. If you like my retirement 10 commandments, just go to obryanretire.com. There's a button, push it, put in your info, and I'll have it to you on Monday with a nice little note from yours truly. But I really want to try to help people, but you know, some people pretend they want the help and really don't. Some people want to go through the motions, and other people really, really, really want to get organized and have everything in one place and organize with someone overlooking it and talking back and forth and getting everything in good shape. This is Dennis O'Brien on 94.9 News Now, the Retirement Life and Investing Show, and we'll talk to you in a few minutes. Thank you. Dennis O'Brien, president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group, www.obryanretire.com. If you want to look at my pretty picture and my family, and I think my dog's there too. I don't even know. But anyway, this is Retirement Life and Investing Show, and we were talking about the biggest mistakes I've seen clients make over 38 years. And boy, there's been some doozies. Greed, out of control spending, marrying the wrong person after a long-term spouse passed away, successful businesses putting on debt after losing a big contract, not automatically saving, letting spouse put single life annuity on pension, CPA developing houses at the top of the housing market, doing investments because everyone else is doing the crowded trade, the tech bubble of 99, 2000, and giving up on a marriage too easily, fighting over money, blah, 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 blah. Let's talk about a couple of others that we haven't gone through yet. Keeping money in the bank and not investing long term. A lot of people are guilty of this. They put the money in the bank. They let it grow, grow, grow. They get nothing on the balance anymore, very, very little. And then, but they never invest it for long term. So I'm not telling you take all your money out of the bank, but I'm telling you that if you have more than 6, 9, 12 months of expenses in the bank, you need to be doing something different. And you don't know what to do. I understand that. But you need to start investing. And even if you automatically invest and start putting some money in every month, you can do it either way. But ease your way in. Start investing also. Savings is great. And having no debt is the best. But you should invest too over the long term. Okay? So that's keeping money in the bank and not investing long term. Next biggest mistake I see, people going online to trade stocks. Go to Foxwoods, go to Mohegan Sun, put $20, $50, have a good time, go to dinner, and get the urge out of you. If you want to learn, you lose big, big bucks, go online and trade stocks. They don't do well, all right? The more information you have on your desk, you see these ads, big screens, you know, the captain of the Titanic, I call it, you know? You go into Warren Buffett's office. You know how many screens he has? None. None. Buys companies, and he holds them. That is a con. Don't do it. Buying products from product pushers and wondering why it never grows. See it all the time. High cost products, annuities, mutual funds, non-traded REITs, all that stuff. Stay away from that, product pushers. And here's a good one. Listening to stock tips without ever calling me to check them out. I get a lot of calls. Hey, my buddy told me to buy this, buy that. And I look it up and, you know, they got zero revenues. No, you know, promises, promises, promises. But you know, there's nothing going on there. There's no show me, you know, there's nothing there. So you got to be very, very careful and whatnot. Learning from your mistakes and not dwelling on them. The biggest way to overcome is to have success. So we've all made mistakes. People come to my office, tell me litany of all the mistakes they've made. And I do appreciate them opening up and telling me, okay? I go, okay, that's that. Now what are we going to do? How are we going to overcome and have success? Because that's the best way to overcome mistakes is having success and doing well. Whatever mistakes you made in your personal life, whatever mistakes you made, overcoming them. So that's very important. Here's a good one. Leaving your ex-wife or ex, period, on your IRA or 401k as a beneficiary. That's sort of a sad one where a good friend recounted a story about a lady whose son passed away, and he'd been in the military, had life insurance for, I don't know, $100,000, $200,000, had just gotten married, had a baby on the way. The baby wasn't due yet. When he passed, I think he died in a horrible crash or something. That $100,000, $200,000 life insurance was still in the father's name, not in the young wife with the baby on the way. And unfortunately, the father wasn't a good guy. The ex-husband of the wife is telling this story, bragging about how his son loved him so much, he left him on the policy instead of the wife, didn't give the wife a penny. Did a lot of conspicuous spending, did a lot of bragging. And, of course, you know the story. You know, within 2 years, the money's gone, the guy's moved on, and the poor. And then the worst thing about it is the young bride who was pregnant, she was very, very angry at her husband because why did he not update his beneficiary on his form? And nobody does. Everybody forgets. I've had to chase people down. You got to change this. Is this your intent? You got to change this. So it's a big mistake. It doesn't happen a lot, but when it does, it can be absolutely catastrophic. So, this goes in line with the other thing, which was forgive yourself for the mistakes you've made. No one, and I repeat, no one is perfect. We've all made them. Here's another one. And the ads on TV, you got to watch their manipulation. Being jealous of neighbors and friends spending outrageous amounts of money and wondering how they do it. And then you find out later about the bankruptcies and the kids who have 100,000 student loans. Be aware, nothing is as it appears. There's people walking around my town riding their bicycles in 20-year clothing that probably have $2 million in their investment portfolios. Don't be fooled by what you see. Okay, big hat, no cattle is a Texas expression. Be aware of that and everything else. Keeping your money safe in a safe in the basement. I know a lady who keeps over $600,000 in her basement in a safe because she doesn't trust the banks. And God help, I hope her daughter has the combination. I hope she moved it. I lost touch with her. Another big mistake, not buying a home. I know a lot of people, they moved to New York City, they got in a rent apartment, they got in the rent control, they never bought the real estate, and you have to buy a home in your 20s and 30s. Eventually, you're going to have to buy something because that's a key way to build up your net worth over time, okay? Holding and falling in love with a stock that's long since had its glory days, see it all the time. Pfizer, GE, a lot of them around here own those stocks. Not using a pro when you get a windfall. Better have someone that has I have an estate attorney, I have a real estate, I have a CPA, I have a team around me. So if you get a windfall, call me. Yes, we'll definitely save you a lot of money in state taxes if we can. Thinking you have to go it alone, cannot trust anybody. We're all guilty of that. We all think we can do everything ourselves, but we all need help from time to time. Not teaching your children or grandchildren. Not buying the automatic millionaire book and making sure they get it. Not getting my retirement 10 commandments. I think it helps a lot of people. People have gotten it, have passed it around. I think they really like it. Not calling me about finding a new job for a friend or family. I talk to a lot of people. I might be able to help. Can't promise it. Not calling for advice on anything. If you got a situation, chances are I've seen it before, give me a ring. If I can't help, I probably know somebody who can. Walking into a bank or an insurance company to invest. They're product pushers. Beware. Be careful. Calling a product pusher and asking for non-biased advice. You will get cookie cutter. So if you call one of these big mutual fund companies, you're going to get their funds. You're going to get a cookie cutter allocation program. You'll be on automatic pilot. And that 26-year-old is going to move on to the next guy. Okay? I hate BS, so if you like BS, I'm probably not your guy. I love humor, so if you have a good joke, please send it to me. I love good stories, and a gifted storyteller is a gift from God. I love old expressions, like my father Jack used to say. Dad was from Ireland, and he'd see a guy, and he'd go, "Oh, he's so tight with a dollar, he still has his Holy Communion money." I love that expression. I still use it. And one more point, how to protect your kids and grandkids, and here are some of the rules I wrote up preparing for the show this morning. No student loan debt, no credit cards, no auto loans, pay cash, start saving automatically, buy a home, get a 15-year mortgage, leave $400 a month for home improvement after home purchase. Trust me, you'll need it. After baby is born, open an account for them in your name and start buying great companies. Don't assume your baby is college bound, so leave your options open. Learning is lifelong, so teach the kids the ability to learn is more important than the actual subject matter at the time. And the most important and last decision they can make is who they marry. And tell them you want grandchildren. That's what I'm doing right now. So anyway, I hope everybody has a great week. If you have any questions, feel free to contact me at www.obrienretired.com. Have a great week and enjoy the beautiful day outside. Bye-bye now.